honk if you can hear me in your cars. And the church said, amen.
Amen.
We begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with our gathering hymn.
We will sing verses 5 and 6.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Pray. O Lord God, merciful judge, you are the inexhaustible fountain of forgiveness. Replace our hearts of stone with hearts that love and adore you, that we may delight in doing your will, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
A reading from Exodus. The angel of God, who was going before the Israelite army, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into a dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning, watched the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud, looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 114 responsively. Hallelujah. When Israel came out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange speech.
Judah became God's sanctuary, and Israel God's dominion.
The sea beheld it and fled. Jordan turned and went back.
The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like young sheep.
What ailed you, O sea, that you fled? O Jordan, that you turned back?
You mountains that skipped like rams, you little hills like young sheep.
Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob.
Who turned the hard rock into a pool of water and flint stone into a flowing spring.
A reading from Romans. Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgments on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God. While those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves. We do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that we might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then each of us will be accountable to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. Seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the wake of the 19th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, I cannot help but to be challenged with this concept of forgiveness that we get in our gospel lesson today. But first, I want to turn to our attention to our Old Testament lesson from Exodus. For this story very much has an us versus them mentality, Israelite versus Egyptian encounter. God is also clearly on the side of the Israelites. However, when religious extremists believe that God is completely on their side and the other side is void of goodness, then crazy things can happen. And September 11th is a sad example. One sad example among many. There are ethical implications when reflecting on Exodus 14, and the rabbis saw this. And in the Sanhedrin, when they're commenting on Exodus chapter 14, verse 20, they wrote, "Ministering angels desired to sing a song of praise before God in response to the decisive victory over the Egyptians. God, however, said to them, 'My handiwork, the Egyptians, are drowning in the sea, and you are reciting a song before me.'" So even though God has delivered his people, the Israelites, out of the bonds of slavery, free from the terror of the Egyptians, our Lord does not rejoice in what happened to the Egyptians. Such a commentary affirms our belief in a God who is love. God would not take pleasure out of this result. And perhaps this is more about the hubris of Pharaoh in seeking to totally dominate, seeking to invoke policies of oppression, violence, and death on the Israelites that wind up costing lives of the Egyptians. Even when it is our own way that leads us to such a path, God takes no pleasure in it. God does not rejoice but mourns such a loss. Can we have empathy toward our enemies, towards those who wish us harm? Could we forgive them for the harm they have caused us? It's challenging. This is a challenge that Jesus puts before us today. Remember a while back when we were starting the construction of our building, we had a blessing, right, dedication when that was commencing. And there was a guest that came, Reverend Dr. Jack Sullivan from the Ohio Council of Churches was present. He's someone that is opposed to the death penalty. And he openly shares how his beloved sister, who was 21 years old, was killed in her Cleveland home that she shared with her two-year-old daughter. This murder remains unsolved, and he raises a question whether executions truly bring healing to families of victims. Now, one can debate punishments as a debt to society, but Jack Sullivan pushes back when people argue that it is needed for a victim's family to heal, because he points out that that's the case, it could be a long time. And statistically, it might never come. And then your life is forever on hold, and there's no healing that can truly take place. I recently watched a movie based on the Emmanuel 9 tragedy, when 9 African Americans were killed at an AME church in Charleston, South Carolina, by someone trying to ignite a race war. Actually, Jack Sullivan told me that one of the victims was actually a cousin of his wife. And I remember at one point in the movie, it discussed those family members of the victims that were able to forgive. It did hear the voices of those who have yet been able to extend forgiveness, but it showed the reactions of what happened when forgiveness was given to the killer, Dylann Roof. For some, it was disappointing. The forgiveness that was extended seemed to put a wet blanket on other people's outrage and anger. But they chose to extend the love that their loved ones extended to Dylann Roof when he joined them for that Bible study. And as some had pointed out, that Bible study continued when they extended mercy and forgiveness to him, hoping that he would find peace and he would find love and he would know Jesus as we know Jesus. I know it's not easy as a Christian to both cry and call for justice, yet at the same time have the heart to extend mercy and forgiveness as well. Yes, we want justice, but we can have justice and extend forgiveness. Can we forgive the evil and terror inflicted on us? What does forgiveness mean? Forgiveness does not mean that there's not justice, because forgiveness calls for repentance. Forgiveness seeks reconciliation. Forgiveness wants justice that seeks to restore relationships and heal a broken world. Peter's question in our gospel lesson today is our question: how often should I forgive? Basically, what Peter is saying, and what maybe you and I are getting at with the Lord sometimes, is at what point am I allowed to hold something over someone's head? Right? At what point can I just hold on to that grudge? At what point am I off the hook here? When we feel this, the first question we should ask ourselves is, how often has Jesus forgiven us? That might be the answer to our question. Last week, I talked about our need to be oriented and reoriented to the ways of Jesus Christ. When we receive forgiveness, that burden should change us. It should transform us. Jesus tells a parable in our gospel lesson today about an unforgiving servant, in which the servant who was forgiven is not transformed by the grace that he had received. He does not seek to extend this same kindness to someone else. Sobering reality is that we all don't mind being forgiven, but being the one who is doing the forgiving might be a whole other story. I will often say how heaven and hell can be experienced right here and right now. Have you ever done something when you sought forgiveness and that forgiveness was withheld? Not being forgiven can be a living hell of sorts. Do we want others to experience that kind of living hell when we are in the position of judge and jury? We do not get what we deserve. We do not pay what we owe because of Jesus Christ. In the parable that Jesus tells in Matthew's gospel, it says, out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him his debt. Let's compare that to Jesus. Jesus doesn't have pity on us. If a mortal can do it out of pity, look at what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't do it out of pity. Jesus loves us. He does it out of love, unconditional love that we have received, that frees us from our death, liberates us from our sin, and brings us to everlasting life. So will we cling to our gavels of judgment or the cross of Christ? Make no mistakes, as Christians, we're called to take seriously the effects of sin. Grace and forgiveness are not cheap by any means of the imagination. This is not a call to just simply forgive and forget. That's the reason why we continue, and it's not a reason for someone to continue to be used and abused by someone because Jesus says you need to forgive them. Let's make that clear as well. Jesus says we're to forgive 77 times. What could he be saying there? Forgiveness is a process. It might not happen all at once. It's not going to be easy. It might require us to continue to do this as we journey on in our hurt and in our grief. And that's okay. In our struggles to forgive, may we always be reminded that we are people that need to be freed and forgiven by Jesus. Let us turn to Jesus in those difficult times to hear that our sins are forgiven, to be centered on the Word, assuring us of God's unconditional, everlasting love, and then to be at the Lord's table to hear the words, "This is the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, for the forgiveness of sin." Let us turn to Jesus and receive that forgiveness in the Word and in this holy meal. And as ones who have heard, received, and feasted on the forgiveness of our God, the forgiveness that our God has bestowed upon us, may we then be beacons in this world of beacons of peace in the face of hate, reconciliation in the presence of division, and forgiveness where there is condemnation. And in doing so, may others turn to the Christ they see in us and cling to that word of forgiveness and promise through the cross. When there is repentance, we're called to enter into that process of forgiveness. When the repairing of the damage is attempted, reconciliation is sought, we're called to the process of forgiveness. And when none of those things are done, we're still called to this process of forgiveness, but a process that calls people to repentance, to healing, and to reconciliation. That process starts with that question: how often should we forgive? Ask yourself, how often has Jesus forgiven you? There is your answer. Thanks be to God. Amen. We continue with our hymn of the day. Say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Drawn together in the compassion of God, we pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. You welcome us when we are weak in faith. Uphold your church throughout the world. Make it a place of welcome. Strengthen faith through Bible studies and Sunday schools, confirmation classes, and youth ministries. Nurture new ministries of education and growth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
The heights of the heavens show us the vastness of your steadfast love. Have compassion on your creation. Where human selfishness has brought ruin and destruction, we look to you to heal, renew, and redeem your world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Make your ways known to the nations. Speak kindness to our bitter grudges. Settle our hearts when we want to settle accounts with violence. Bless our leaders with patience and wisdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bring healing and justice wherever harm is dealt. Provide vindication for all who are oppressed. Free victims of human trafficking and forced labor. Deliver all who are bound by debt. Feed all who hunger, and guard refugees fleeing famine, poverty, and war. Be with those who are ill or grieving, especially Tracy, Rob, Don, Drew, Chris, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace, Stan, Doris, Blaine, Sullivan, John, Maya, Lindsay, Marissa, the family of Winona Neiman, Michael, Sue, Rod, Karen, Jan, Atreyu, Tim, Gloria, Tammy, Pierpont, Judy, Megan, Rob, Leah, Dean, our homebound, for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Teach us to forgive. Remind us that you do not always accuse us. Still our tongues when we are tempted to pass judgment and argue over opinions. Make this congregation a community of mercy for one another and for all our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Whether we live or whether we die, we are yours. We thank you for those who have showed us faithfulness, for the knees that taught us how to bow to you and the tongues that taught us how to praise you. Especially John Chrysostom, whom we commemorate this weekend. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you see that we need, we entrust to your mercy through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. So with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, Heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love, you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Distribution of Holy Communion will be us coming to your circles or to your vehicles. We offer both consecrated wine and consecrated grape juice. If you would like grape juice, just let us know when we serve you and we will accommodate you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
grape juice, Lindsay? Do you want it? Right here, just grab it. Hey, Chalice.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
St. John Lutheran Church, Windfall, is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, and sent into the community to share the love of Jesus.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with our sending hymn.
Away.
peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.